lines.
Exit Lines by Reginald Hill, with Donald G. as Inspector Pascoe. Three deaths, three questions. Who killed Robert Deeks? Who drove the car that knocked down Philip Westerman? And how did Thomas Parender die? Inspector Peter Pascoe wanted answers to them all. Part 3, Bugger Bogner.
I didn't look forward to Sunday morning. I had to take Dolly Frostick, nay Deeks, to her dead father's house to check on what was missing. Her husband Alan insisted on coming with us. He was small and a touch aggressive, so I'd have preferred Mrs. Frostick by herself. But in the event, he proved a godsend, comforting her and steering her through the quicksands of painful memories with a genuinely tender concern. By the time we'd finished, I'd forgiven him everything.
So, that's all that's missing. A small transistor radio, half a dozen campaign medals from the war, and a watch with a gold sovereign welded onto the chain.
He always said that was to be Charlie's, that and the medals. He wanted him to have the medals.
Oh, he'll be able to win his own now, won't he, love? Oh. Come on, don't fret. Your dad always wanted Charlie to join up. He knew it was best for the lad. Just think, love, you'll be seeing Charlie soon, and he'll tell you for himself.
Now, Mrs. Frostick, think hard. Anything else you've noticed? Anything unusual?
Yes, the back door.
What about it?
Well, that's how they got in, isn't it?
Looks like it. They broke the glass, put a hand through, and took the key out of the inside lock. I'm afraid he shouldn't have left it there.
But he didn't.
What? But that's...
No, I don't mean that. I know that must have been what happened. I mean, it's not like him. He never used to do that. Whenever he locked the back door, he put the key on the kitchen table. He was most particular about it. But he was failing, and I knew he was failing. Maybe if we'd paid more heed...
He wanted to be on his own, Dolly. You know that. And he might have been particular about not leaving the key in the door, but he was daft enough to leave a key in the washhouse, so what's the difference?
The washhouse? Where's that?
Out the back. He kept a spare key in the old boiler.
Can you show me?
Out this way.
Thank you.
There you are. That's the boiler. It's never used now. You can see he kept a lot of rubbish in it. Keys in the old tobacco tin.
So I see. Not clever, huh? How many people knew it was there?
Well, what's the odds? It wasn't used for the break-in.
Precisely. That's the interesting thing.
Aye?
Well, who did know?
Family, of course. Some of his mates, I shouldn't wonder. Next door neighbour. Does it matter?
Yes. Anyone who knew would have used this key instead of breaking in. And what about money? Your wife said he sometimes kept cash in the house, and it appears he lent Charlie money to buy an engagement ring.
I know naught about that, except it was money badly spent. That little trollop.
Charlie's granddad must have liked her more than you did.
No, he thought she were rubbish.
Then why make the loan?
Who knows how an old man's mind works. I never spoke to him much myself, miserable old bugger. But we were agreed on Miss Bloody Andrea. I reckon he coughed up because Charlie had just told him he was joining the army. He'd have been overjoyed at that.
I'll keep this key if you don't mind.
Up to you. Have you done with Dolly now?
I just want her to have a look at the bathroom.
Where she found him? Oh, do she have to?
Yes, I'm sorry to ask her, but we have to be thorough.
Did a lot of this myself. Not the plumbing, of course. Cost a pretty penny, but puts value on a house. People expect a bathroom these days. I don't know how you manage without one, Dolly.
Just a quick look, Mrs. Frostick. Has anything changed?
Anything changed? It has. Oh, yes, it has. This used to be my room when I was a girl, Inspector. Wait a minute.
Yes?
There's scuffs on the paint, see? On the side of the bath. And then marks on the floor weren't there.
Yes, I see. The vinyl's soft enough to take an impression. Yes, thank you.
Probably a copper's big flat feet.
Maybe, yes. Right, Mrs. Frostick, I'm sorry to have to put you through all this, but it's been a great help. I'll just get Sergeant Weald up here and take a look, and then I'll drive you home.
Weald confirmed my own thought. It would have taken a lot of pressure to make those prints, possibly someone pushing poor old Deeks under. We'd know more after forensic reported. We drew up in front of the Frostick's place, just as a girl came out of the house next door, a girl with bleached blonde hair, magenta-tipped, with an almost ceramic mask of makeup. This, without a doubt, was Andrea, Charlie's fiancée.
Hello, Mrs. Frostick. Sorry to hear about your old dad.
Oh, thank you, dear. Charlie's coming home for the funeral. Did your mum tell you?
Yeah. And when Charlie comes home, I'm going to tell him I want no more waiting. I want to be married straight off.
Straight off? Andrew, what do you mean?
I mean now, this week, when he's home.
But the church... You need a licence.
Register office. I'm not bothering with no licence. My dad wouldn't want to cough up anyway.
But he's not allowed to, the army.
Oh, they haven't bought him body and soul, have they? His life's still his own. They've houses over there in Germany, married quarters. They don't live in trees.
You'd want to go back with him?
Well, I wouldn't want to stay on here by myself.
Are you in trouble, girl?
No, I'm bloody not. Grow up. No one gets into trouble nowadays.
So what's the hurry all of a sudden? You were going to wait till he got posted back here, and that'll be a sight too early for me.
Yeah, pack me job in.
Now we're getting to it. What have you been doing?
Nothing. I got fed up. It's slave labour, and it's boring. Stupid, toffy-nosed pair. Think they got gift.
I see. No job, nowhere to live. Don't want to come back home. So you think you'll grab our Charlie?
I can get plenty of jobs. I got contacts. And maybe I won't go with Charlie, but I will if I want to. He'll want me to. We're engaged, or don't you remember?
It's the worst day's work he ever did.
Oh, get lost.
Oh, Andrea. I told you, Inspector, didn't I? Bloody little trollop. You could see it when she was still at junior school. A trollop. Help her, ma'am. Not likely. She up and left when her grandfather was moved downstairs. I thought she'd clear off, but she only went as far as that hotel. Chambermaid and waitress. Yeah. Supposed to be a classy place, and they take on the likes of her.
Hold on. Which hotel?
Oh, that clip joint. Paradise Hotel. Living in. That was the attraction. Getting away from her family. She'd not do that kind of work at home.
So, death number one was nudging into the territory of death number two, which dear old George Headingley was investigating, not altogether happily. What officer would be happy looking into an accident that might have been due to his own boss's drunk driving? That Sunday morning, George was, at his own request, closeted with the deputy chief. He'd been as puzzled as I was by Mrs. Warsop's change of heart.
So nothing you said could be taken as inducing Mrs. Warsop to alter her story?
No, sir.
Then why did she alter it?
I don't know. I certainly didn't put pressure on her. And if I'd tried, I wouldn't have got very far. Anyway, there are two perfectly good witnesses that Mr. D.L. wasn't driving. And one of them, Mr. Charlesworth, admits he was driving.
Yes. How did Charlesworth strike you?
He just states things flatly, as if he's not much interested, if you believe him or not. One thing's certain, though, he wasn't drunk. Nothing but Perrier water all night. Seems that's all he ever does drink.
A teetotal bookie. Perhaps he's too worried to drink. I'd better check up on Customs and Excise's investigation into his business. This Major Castle seems a reliable chap.
Yes, sir.
When was it you saw him?
Yesterday, at the airport. He was meeting Sir William Pledger's guests, European VIPs coming by private plane. Uniform branch were there, by the way.
Were they now? What for?
A customs and excise check. Seems Mr. D.L. had set it up.
Did they find anything?
No, all clear. Sir?
Yes?
I wonder... That is, well, it's not very helpful if Mr. D.L.'s around and I bump into him. Like yesterday.
I understand. I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. I'll have a word with him now. Won't be in church, will he?
Yes?
Andy, a moment of your time.
Eh? Oh,
I wanted to have a word. These are difficult times for the police. Subversive propaganda and an irresponsible press. I suggested yesterday you might care to sample foreign parts. That was frivolous, but this isn't... Andy? Andy, are you there?
If you're going to shout like that, where's the point in using the phone? What can I do for you, sir?
As I was saying, this isn't frivolous. A short break out of Yorkshire might do you the world of good. The South Coast? Eastbourne, perhaps? Or Bognor Regis?
Bognor.
What did Andy D.L. have in common with the late King George V? No prizes offered. Ellie rang again on Sunday night. She sounded a bit more cheerful, so I hung on to the hope she'd be back as promised on Monday. In that hope, I settled down with a glass of beer and a slice of cold pie to listen to the radio. I was interrupted. Guess who?
Hello, sir. Is it a raid? Them merry quips will be your downfall, Peter. A lesser man might take offence.
Are you coming in?
I am in. So I noticed.
Oh, we don't want that, do we? Have I interrupted your supper?
You care to join me?
Why not? What's that you're eating?
Chicken and ham pie. You care for a beer?
Stupid question.
Purely rhetorical. There you go. One beer, one slice of cold pie from the supermarket, I'm afraid. Not the fruits of a lovely lady's gun.
Tickled your fancy, that one, didn't she, Peter? Ellie away for long?
She'll be back tomorrow. And even if she wasn't, I wouldn't be shooting off my gun all over Yorkshire.
I'm doing a bit myself.
What?
Shooting. Bang, bang.
You mean shooting things?
Aye. They tell me things are in season.
Birds? You're going to shoot birds?
Well, I asked about sheep. I wondered if they'd let me start with sheep, being only a trainee, so to speak. Something a bit bulky and sort of static. But they tell me sheep shooting's never caught on. It has to be birds.
But why? I mean, you're not the type.
You mean I'm not one of your tweedy twits? I'm glad you've noticed. But it's not like that anymore. It's a popular sport. Pricey, but popular. Chief constables dab hand, they tell me. So why not me? Maybe I've got secret ambitions.
And secret funds. You said yourself it's pricey.
Aye, it's a rich man's pleasure. But there are some generous rich men about. I'm on my holidays. I get asked to try my hand at a shoot tomorrow. Where's the harm?
Depends on who's doing the inviting.
Sir William Pledger.
Ah.
He'll cough up in the long run. But it was his general manager, Barney Castle, who asked me. Make up your mind, lad.
About what?
About your expression. What's it to be? Amazement that I got invited or indignation that I accepted? Listen, lad. Sir William Pledger came up from Knout and he's not forgotten it. It's not your chinless Charlies who get asked to Haycroft Grange. It's people with clout. People who know how to make people jump or money jump. That's what's on the ticket of entry. Any road? How about you? Out new on the Deeks murder?
No, not much. There's some stuff missing. That might help if someone's daft enough to flog it.
Anything else going off?
Well, another old fellow died the same night.
Aye, Peter, I know.
No, sorry, sir, no, I didn't mean him, no. A man called Parinder. He lived at Castleton Court. A chipper old boy, it seems. Bit of a racing man. He had a fall, broke his hip, lay there several hours and died of exposure.
Only what? Come on, lad, tell me about it.
So, that's it. There's nothing more to go on, really. All injuries attributable to the fall, no evidence of robbery. I don't know why I'm even talking about it.
I do. You've got one of them feelings, and nothing short of a cold shower is going to get rid of it. Now, let's see what we've got. Parinder, who's got a cold, goes out late on a nasty wet afternoon. Why?
To collect his pension.
Why did he want it then? To buy some rum. Where did he buy it? Where did he collect his pension, for that matter? You'd think he'd go local. There's a parade of shops and a sub-post office right behind Castleton Court. He didn't need to go into town. But if he was crossing the recreation ground, he must have done. Pension money intact, except for the few quid he'd pay for the rum. It wasn't opened, you say?
No, the seal was intact.
So he hadn't had a few nips. Better if he had. Might have kept out the cold a bit longer. Did he say anything before he died?
Only Polly.
Yeah. Attacked by a woman, maybe. There's plenty of pay for the pleasure. Yeah, looks to me as if you got a sack full and out, Peter.
So you just forget it?
I didn't say that. No, I'd have a good look at his possession. See if there's a receipt for the rum. Look at the post office stamp in his pension book. Check the lot. Right, I'll be off now. Thanks for the pie.
Ellie, is that you?
Yeah, Ellie, yeah. Sorry to disappoint you, lad.
Oh, hello, sir.
About that Parinder business that was niggling at you.
Yes?
You said he was a racing man.
Yes, that's right.
I was looking at yesterday's paper. It's got Friday's results in it. Last race at Cheltenham was won by a horse called Polystyrene. Two words. Just a thought.
And that was enough to take me straight to the County General Hospital next morning, where I bumped into a very haggard Dr. Sowden.
You look dreadful. You ought to see a doctor.
You look lost. You ought to ask a policeman.
You've still got Parinder's belongings, haven't you?
Yes. Uh-huh. You don't give up, do you? You still think there's something odd about his death?
Maybe. But no reflection on you, Doctor. The pathologist found nothing suspicious, and most of my colleagues think I'm daft.
Eureka! An honest cop. Come on, I'm just going off duty. I'll take you to where you want to be.
Is this the lot?
Apart from his money and his pension book, they lock up valuables.
Found a clue. Receipt for the rum.
Another clue.
Friday's paper. Look, at the racing page. It's a bit smudged, but you can see he's ringing around one of the runners.
Polystyrene. What of it?
Just before he died, he looked up, saw looming over him a dog as big as a horse, laughed, said, "Polly," and expired.
Well, well, clever old you. But so what?
It won, at 4-1.
I think I'm with you. Where are his winnings? In that bottle of rum, I'd suggest. Not to mention his stomach. Apparently he had a substantial meal before he died.
And there's the receipt for it. Starbucks restaurant. But I wonder how his other selections did. Look, he's marked them here. Red Vanessa in the 210 and Usherette in the 245.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's up? Clue run out?
Well, he didn't go out till after 3, so he'd only have time to back polystyrene.
Well, there's always the telephone.
I'll have to find out what kind of gambler he was. Well, thank you for your help.
That other business?
Yes?
The road accident. I don't cause trouble, but I'd like to be certain that everything's been done that ought to have been done.
I think I can assure you of that.
Well, I'll keep an eye on things if you don't mind. To sweeten the pill, let me buy you a drink next time I cross-question you.
You know where to find me.
So altogether, with the meal and the rum, he must have spent £8.75. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
If he put a couple of quid of polystyrene at 4-1, that would account for it, wouldn't it?
I suppose so. But I'd like to know how the other two horses did.
He didn't go out in time to back them.
He could have telephoned. Art, come in, Seymour. I've got a job for you.
The same case, sir?
Yes, this Parinder business. There may be something. Here's the receipt from the off-license where he bought the rum, and here's the receipt for his last meal. See what you can find out at both places.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and Seymour.
Yes, sir.
Here. Find out what won these races last Friday. He can read, can't he, Sergeant?
Depends. Did you join up the letters?
Red Vanessa by 2 lengths, Usherette by a short head.
Seymour, you're a racing man.
I keep an eye open.
Good. Well, get on with it, then.
Yes, sir.
Those were Parinder's selections.
Yes.
That explains why he went out, then. Racy man marks 3 selections for the fun of it, sees 2 of them come up on the telly. He'd be bound to want to chase his luck and make sure he was on the 3rd. Thought it was his lucky day, poor devil.
Maybe. Any news on the Deeks case?
Yes, I was waiting to show you forensics report. This is the sole pattern for the marks on Deke's bathroom floor. Boot size 10-10.5.
Army?
Oh, didn't say. No distinguishing marks. Wouldn't chance their arm.
Well, if they won't, we must. I'll check it out at Eltervale Camp. Well, Sergeant Myers, could it be a print from a modern army boot?
Could be. Could be anything. Sorry not to be of more help.
That's all right. By the way, I came across one of your former officers the other day. Major Castle. Remember him?
I remember the Major, all right.
He seems to have done all right for himself. Got out and made it in Civvy Street.
Yes, well, he didn't have much option. Civvy Street's better than a court-martial.
What?
You talk to our Sergeant Ludlam. He was Company Sergeant Major in Hong Kong. Could have been Regimental Sergeant Major by now.
That's not right. There was a lot of graft going on over there. And if you were daft enough to get caught, well, that was your bad luck. But it's not fair the same thing as turns a sergeant major into a private. Should leave a major, and get him a nice, cushy billet in Civvy Street. Not right at all.
I drove back to town so preoccupied with Castle's murky past that I forgot my half-plan to stop for a lunchtime drink at the Paradise Hotel. Just as well after DL's insinuations. Which reminded me, this was the day he was enjoying Haycroft Grange's hospitality, courtesy of Major Castle.
Here you are, Mr. Dale. Coffee with a drop of scotch.
Oh, thank you, Sir William.
Keeps the cold out better than the vino. The rest of them are swilling it down, but it's mother's milk to them, so that's all right. Barney Kessel keeps it in bounds, don't you, Barney?
That's right. I've developed an eye for that, if nothing else. Too much booze and shotguns don't mix.
Yeah.
The biggest proportion of accidents happen in the after-lunch drives.
Do you get a lot of accidents?
Not here, we don't. But when they let out shooting to syndicates, you get too many clowns and not enough ringmasters. Shoot more dogs than birds.
This your first time, Andy?
That's right. It's good of you to let me come.
Always happy to have the law along. Your chief constable's a fair shot. And we usually have one or two of the boys in blue at the other end of the stick.
Sorry?
The beaters. We get a lot of bobbies using their days off to earn a bit extra. I suppose it's against the regulations, is it?
Well, if it doesn't bother the chief, it doesn't bother me.
Oh, well, I'd better make with the Euro talk. Good shooting, Andy. Oh, shall we see you at dinner tonight?
I don't think so, Sir William. I haven't the clothes. I've just come as I am.
Oh, pity. Look, you must come again soon, but Kitty's out for a meal too. Barney, when would be best?
Next Friday. We're bound to be a gun or two short. This lot go back tomorrow and the next bunch arrive Friday morning.
Right.
There's always one of the Euros who just wants to lie around after the flight.
Ah, splendid. So that's fixed. Always supposing you don't blow someone's head off this afternoon, eh?
Ah, thanks very much. You've made a hit.
With the little man. I wouldn't know.
The little man? He could gobble up half this lot for afternoon tea. Let's take a stroll. I have to talk to the beaters.
How was it at the airport?
All right. How's your bit of bother?
Oh, that'll be all right, too. Especially now I've got respectable military gents speaking up for me. Thanks.
I'd hate to see your career messed up unnecessarily. This holiday of yours, will it keep you out of contact with things?
No, no. I'll drift in from time to time and suss out what's what. Thursday, do you?
Fine.
Just a minute. Excuse me, Barney. Constable Hector.
Oh.
It's never you.
It's my day off, sir.
Well, the force's loss is Sir William's gain. I've no doubt you're doing a good job. You've got just the right figure for frightening the birds.
You mean it's all right?
Well, I suppose it's good police training, advancing on a line of armed men intent on shooting you down.
Sir, it's the birds the gentlemen shoot down, not us.
I shouldn't bet on it, lad. Not today.
Right, thanks very much. I've got the names. Look, while you're on the line, can you fill me in on something? Arnold Charlesworth, Turf Accountant Limited. Your investigation into alleged irregularities...
It's concluded.
And?
There'll be no proceedings.
Does that mean there've been no irregularities?
It means there's been no evidence. Mr. Charlesworth's records are so clean, you'd think they'd been done only yesterday. Either he's the most conscientious bookmaker we've ever dealt with, or he knew we were coming.
When did Mr. Charlesworth get the good news?
He'll just get his records returned. When we don't slap him in irons, he'll know he's all right.
And us? Have we been officially informed?
Well, speaking for Customs and Excise, I don't think we'd bother unless there were some irregularities. But CID knows what we're up to. Your Mr. DL insisted.
Oh. So we knew, unofficially, that Charlesworth's books were in order?
Certainly. Mr. DL was very interested in the whole business. He mentioned it this week when we were talking about another matter.
Another matter? Was that your airport check on Saturday morning?
That's right.
Was it a routine check?
No, it was not. We wouldn't risk irritating Sir William Pledger just for the sake of routine. There'd been a tip-off. The plane was bringing in a load of heroin.
Heroin?
Yes, but it was clean as a whistle.
Monday afternoon, the DCC was not in the best of tempers. I refused to speculate about the reason. Seymour reported back eventually.
You've taken your time.
Enjoy your lunch.
Sorry, sir. Some of the witnesses have been difficult to pin down.
You get anything?
The chap in the off-license remembered Parinder. He bought the room at 6:30 and paid with a fiver. The restaurant was more interesting.
Oh?
The waitress was Irish. Pretty girl. She remembered him well.
Uh-huh.
Said he was such a nice old boy. But the thing is, he had a lot of money on him.
What?
She says he tipped her a quid. He said he had a bit of luck that day, and he paid from an old envelope with a fat wad of notes in it.
But it can't have been all that much at 4-1. Not unless it was a bigger bet than we thought.
Well, perhaps he rolled it up with the other two.
Rolled it up?
Put his money on all three horses to win in a treble. Now, Red Vanessa was 5-1, so a fiver would give him £25 plus his stake. On Usherette, 2-1 equals 60 plus 30.
Polystyrene at 4 to 1 equals 360 plus 90. £450.
No wonder he said he'd had a bit of luck. Wait, though. He would have had to have his bet on in advance if it were a treble, hmm?
He was drinking tea and watching television with Mrs. Escott till nearly 3:30. It was always going to be a bit of a rush to get into town to put a bet on the 355. If he'd got the money on a roll-up in advance, surely he'd have sat at home and watched the last race on the telly.
Wild horses wouldn't have dragged him away.
I think he just felt his luck was good and ran out and put a bet on the last selection. Like I said.
But there's no way he could have won all that money on one bet at 4 to 1.
Maybe a little looks a lot to an Irish waitress. Seymour, go round the betting shops. His bet will be recorded somewhere. Come the heavy if they drag their feet, hmm? Oh, and Seymour.
Yes, sir?
Don't hang about. Keep away from the Colleens.
What's that?
For you. To the victor, the spoils. All the guns are entitled to a brace at the end of the day.
Well, I only ate one of the damn things. What am I meant to do with them?
Up to you. But one thing I learned in the army, a perk is a perk. Never turn down a buck she.
What happens to the rest?
We sell them. See that green van? Vernon Briggs, game dealer. He pays a quid a bird, and they end up on your plate at the Paradise Hotel at 10 times the price.
I thought that lass there shot her own.
Mrs. Abbey's. She's a fair shot. We've had her here from time to time. But no double meaning intended, by the way. The lady's not for touching. Much to the disappointment of some of our foreign guests. However, we managed to keep them happy in other directions.
How's that?
They're a bit seigneurial in their attitude to serving wenches. So we have to recruit the right stuff. We've just acquired a new one. The girl who waited on us on Friday night.
That reject from a punk band?
She has something. You seemed to like it yourself at the time. I had a word with her on the way out.
I didn't realise you were a talent scout.
Pimp, you thought of saying. No, if you had, you would have said it, wouldn't you?
Aye. Is she hired?
Yes. She rang up this afternoon. She'd hesitated because of the isolation, but I've just assured her that transport to town and back is provided, so we have a new maid. A talent scout. I like that. I'm always on the lookout for talent.
Like me?
Hmm. I'm glad I spotted you, with Arnie's help. Are you satisfied with our arrangements?
For the time being.
Subject to review, you mean? Well, I can't say fairer than that. Have some scotch.
Well, there's only enough for one.
You have it. You've got further to go than me.
Monday night came, but no Ellie. She rang up to say that the doctor hadn't been encouraging, and she felt she couldn't leave her mother to cope yet. So I sat at home, reviewing progress. How far had we got? The Deeks killing? A few pointers, though I didn't yet know where we were going. Parinder? A right puzzle. The road accident? Stalemate. And I had an uneasy feeling that as far as Andy Diehl was concerned, stalemate might be exactly what he wanted.
In part 3 of Exit Lines by Reginald Hill, dramatized by Betty Davis, Donald G. played Inspector Pascoe, Philip Jackson, D.L., Michael Elwin, the Deputy Chief Constable, Christopher Good, Headingley, Ben Onwukwe, Dr. Soudan, Paul Downing, P.C. Seymour, Stephen Garlick, P.C. Hector, Michael Graham Cox, Sergeant Weald, Anna Cropper, Mrs. Frostick, Michael Kilgariff, Mr. Frostick, John Bull, Sergeant Myers, Jane Slavin, Andrea, Vincent Brimble, Castle, Brian Miller, Sir William, and Dale Rapley, the Customs Man. Exit Lines is directed by Matthew Walters.